Do design decisions involve value judgments? Andy Halliwell has gone and posted this question on LinkedIn as part of our redesigning D&T project and debates. I think this is a really tricky one to answer, and our expert group felt that it was an important question that needed debating. Do design decisions involve value judgments? I think firstly, I'd be saying, what do you mean by a value judgment, a values judgment? And maybe in your response to Andy's question, you'll explore what you understand and what your views are of what value judgments are, and then whether they actually impinge on or affect the design decisions that designers make and also that children make in D&T lessons. So do join the debate. We're always open to conversation and discussion on this. But for now, on to the next episode. Hello and welcome to the Talking D&T podcast with me, Alison Hardy, a podcast for those interested in design and technology education, where I'll be sharing news, views, ideas and opinions about D&T. So I'm with Rebecca Topps, who teaches in Sleaford and is writing a new chapter in the book about transitions after secondary school. But before we go any further, Rebecca, it'd be great to hear a little bit about your life in D&T and sort of how you got to this point.
So I did a degree in product design at Sheffield Hallam, so a BA through that. And then as part of the degree, I was allowed to go into schools to do some work experience. Mm-hmm. Originally only signed up to do 3 weeks, ended up spending six. And thought, I remember thinking, well, I can actually, this is an actual real job that I can spend my life doing. So I really loved it there, and then decided to do kind of an apprenticeship route into teaching. It was called a GTP back then, but it's kind of a bit like the skits now. And haven't really looked back. So originally was employed as a construction teacher, which is a bit different considering what it is. But you'll realise there's lots of different courses that you could choose and go for. And then as it's progressed through, I'm now second in faculty for design and technology, and we cover everything from child development through to construction to engineering to the traditional A-level and GCSE routes as well.
Okay, so what's the main thing that sort of kept you in teaching design and technology? Because how long have you been a D&T teacher?
I have been a D&T teacher now for 11 years.
Right.
If I'm honest, and it's cheesy, for me, it's the kids, because the best thing about design is every child gets to be an individual. They get to express who they are through the means of creating a practical outcome. And as a teacher, you get to navigate these kids through these journeys from the beginning right the way through to seeing where they go. And I love it having kids come back to me and talk to me that they've done their master's in design or they've got jobs in London. And I know that, as selfishly as it is, because of me, I could have gone off to be a designer, then I would have designed a range of projects. Or I can be a teacher and I can influence thousands of projects, thousands of, you know, all these types of things, and it's just, it's inspiring. Every day is different, and I love it.
Right. And how long have you been at St George's?
10 years now. This has been my 10th year there.
So you obviously really do love it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is a small market town. We're not near a big city. Yeah. We're in the middle of Lincolnshire. We are lucky to have a design museum near us, but there's not a lot of excitement, say the buzz of a city would have. So for us, when we're trying to teach the kids, you know, the difference between form and functions and some really out there designs, they may never have seen anything beyond the small market town.
Absolutely.
So when you get to open their eyes and they see beyond it, I mean, it's amazing where these kids go with it. And I love the challenge that rural schools bring, because you have to excite them beyond the Shire.
You have to take them out.
Yeah, it's really good.
So I'm really excited that you've agreed to do a chapter. I know you occasionally have moments of thinking, what have I done? But I'm genuinely thrilled to bits. So if you could just tell us a little bit, because it is a new chapter, about what you're thinking of bringing into the chapter.
So my initial thoughts is, for somebody new into the world of teaching design and technology, is I kind of want to open their mind a little bit to beyond just the D&T kind of aspect, to show them that there's actually a whole breadth of things that you could do. For me, the goal is to try and show beyond the GCSE level beyond the level two, what is out there and the routes they are and the qualifications and the different settings. You know, it doesn't just end at school. There could be colleges or apprenticeships and where D&T can take somebody.
Okay, yeah, because it is very easy, isn't it, to come in, as you say, and you kind of do that traditional route. So I did O-levels because I am that much older. And then you do an A-level and then you go off and do your degree and then you go into a profession that's related to that route.
Yeah.
And then as a teacher going back in the classroom, that might be the only route you know of.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I think that's what makes your chapter really key, to give the students that different perspective. So what are the sort of routes that you're thinking of putting in there about what people can do post-16 after they've done D&T at secondary school?
So my initial thought is to go the traditional one. I'm going to talk quite a lot about the, you know, going from the GCSE to the A-level, the level three, and how the new specifications, sorry, the new DfE regulations have said that there's three routes that they have to go down. So either the product design, the design engineering, or you've got the fashion and textiles route. So how that's completely changed. So I'm going to go look at the traditional way and then going to take sort of a side sort of journey and look at all the vocational ones that are out there. Because I know in my school where I am, we offer quite a few of those as well. And as a teacher, you might have to be able to jump between the different ones, not necessarily teach the whole things, but like as a product designer, I'm very good with drawing. Mm-hmm. So I do teach a lot of the CAD modules across different ones. So there are relationships between them that I'd like people to be aware of. And then also go down the apprenticeship based ones, because even after they finish their GCSEs, they might be fortunate enough to jump into an apprenticeship position. So you kind of want to prepare children for that, but also you might be part of teaching that if the school allows the day release kind of contracts in colleges. So that's kind of what I'm thinking at the moment.
Because it is thinking beyond that sort of traditional route and thinking about apprenticeships and college settings, which some of us who've been working in schools and only in schools may not be aware of. And what it's like to be in a college, and how do you use your D&T to get yourself into an apprenticiship, and how does that relate?
I'm hoping to have some good case studies of different, perhaps the most common routes, looking at colleges, at schools, and then apprenticeship routes, so people can actually see how that could work, and they can see beyond, perhaps, if they've only done a couple of placements, what else is out there, what they might want to do. So that's the goal I want for the future of this,
Oh great. So the book is obviously mainly aimed at student teachers and maybe those in their first 1 or 2 years, but do you think this chapter will be of use to, or how do you think this chapter will be of use to, established teachers, that they might dip into this? And
I would definitely say that it would be, in the sense that, you know, you might get a job at a school, they might only have up to 16, they might finish it after the GCSE, so you might actually think, well, actually I want to progress. So before you might go and apply for schools that have the sixth form colleges, or they have the sixth form options, I would probably use this as a way of refreshing yourself to make sure you're aware of what's out there. But then also, if you kind of feel a bit stagnant in what you've been doing, because so much has changed for D&T over the past couple of years, if you want to refresh yourself and prepare to, you know, offer a career advice for children, you need to know what's out there. And especially as, you know, revising the book and looking at as it is in the current state, then I think this is a really good chance for people to actually just take a step back and just reevaluate what D&T is, where it is right now in the country, and then use this as a refresher, perhaps inspiration. But yeah, I definitely look at it that way.
Good. Right, that's really interesting. Yeah, because I'm hoping that it's not just seen by student teachers as a useful book, but also that they'll take it into their departments and that teachers will find it useful. And I think your chapter, I know that I would have really benefited from a chapter like this when I was teaching, because I had a restricted and narrow view about what you could do. And, you know, we're more and more now asked, aren't we, to give careers advice and suggest things to children. And so hopefully this will help those that are established. So thank you very much. That's great.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Talking D&T podcast with me, Alison Hardy. You can connect with me on Twitter at Hardy_Alison. Show notes and transcripts for each podcast episode can be found on my website, alisonhardy.work. Thanks for listening.